This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I am interviewing Jen Scalia. How'd I do on that?
It was okay.
who is living her dream by being a life coach. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm wonderful.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get started by giving some background about yourself.
Okay. Well, I am born and raised a Jersey girl. And I come from a very tight-knit community, tight-knit family. I started my journey with the life coaching after like a lot of just events that kind of went on in my life. And to be honest, I really didn't think it was like a viable career. and then when I saw other people doing it, I was like, wow, yes, I can do that. And so I kind of took that path after, you know, I went through some being laid off from corporate America and just kind of dealing with stuff like that.
Wow. So what would you say being a life coach means to you?
For me, it's really about helping other people recognize their worth and their value. And kind of, you know, a big part of my mission is helping women to not suffer as much as I did in my personal relationships, my intimate relationships, in my life, you know, making career choices and kind of just going through all those ups and downs and mistakes that I feel, you know, everyone kind of needs to have their own journey and they do need to experience their own things. But I feel like a lot of people, and I deal mainly with women, but I feel like a lot of women get stuck. And they maybe just don't realize that, you know, there is help out there. There is coaching. There is support to help them go through these really tough times in their lives. So, you know, doing what I do is very, it's very special and it's very personal because, you know, when I was going through my stuff, I wished that I had somebody to help me and be there. And I just didn't know. I had no idea that it was even something that existed.
So what would you say inspires you?
What inspires me is just seeing the community of women. And I'm not like a feminist or anything like that. But just seeing how, you know, we can work together, stick together and create something that's really wonderful and create bonds and friendships and you use our passions and, you know, our purpose and use that to help ourselves, help our relationships, and then go out and share that with the world to help other people. So it's kind of like a ripple effect, you know.
So how would you say your dream came about?
Like I mentioned previously, it was a series of events that happened in my life. I was, you know, always just not really clear on what I wanted to do, which I feel like a lot of people are that way, you know, especially, you know, there's still people in their 30s and 40s that still have no idea what they want to do with their lives, you know? And, you know, I was always one of those. I was always very creative, always, you know, had my hands in like all different kinds of stuff. And, you know, I would complete a task or I would conquer one thing and then just move right on to the next thing. And, you know, I was just always looking for that challenge. And, you know, I basically, after a series of events in my life that were, you know, kind of heartbreaking and, you know, struggles, I decided I wanted to help other people.
So could you elaborate on some of the struggles that you've come across?
Yeah, absolutely. So to be a little bit more clear on exactly what I do, I am a life coach and I work mainly with women who have, you know, a history of bad relationships or who have struggled as a result of a toxic relationship. So basically, you know, they're kind of down on love. They're, you know, feeling a little hopeless. They maybe lack self-esteem or confidence. And like I said, the reason why is because of personal things that happened to me in my relationships. And I am 33 now. But at, you know, 33 years old, I've already been through two divorces. And it was, you know, a lot of my mistake, you know, but I didn't realize it at the time. And it took these like heartbreaking things to happen in my life in order for me to realize that I needed to make the changes and kind of look within myself and see, you know, exactly what it was that I wanted to do. I was always just living somebody else's life. I was doing what I thought I should do, you know, go to college, get married, have a baby, like, you know, whatever society said that I should do, I felt like I did it, but I never did it on my own terms. So I wasn't happy.
So when you made the decision to become a life coach, how was that received by your family and friends?
I think still, even a year and a half into it, people are a little weary. I think that that comes from them just not understanding. And, you know, I feel like, you know, the life coaching, relationship coaching or anything kind of in that expert field or, you know, even making money online or, you know, having an online business is foreign to a lot of people, especially, you know, if they're old fashioned, like my parents, you know, I mean, they grew up, you know, in the 50s, people are so ingrained in their ways that they just don't realize that, like, you can make a living this way. And so they automatically kind of shut off. You know, and that goes with, you know, pretty much everything in life. But for me, you know, so it's a little hard to for them to wrap their brains around what I'm doing. But at this point in my life, I have built up my confidence that I know that what I'm doing is what I'm meant to be doing and that I will be successful. So even if they don't, you know, necessarily understand it, I'm still supported.
Well, that's always good to be supported, even if people don't quite understand. I mean, there's lots of things out there that people don't understand. And it's nice to know that you have family that still support you, even though they don't understand.
Yeah.
So what steps did you take to get started once you figured out that this was something for you?
So I knew that I wanted to have my own business. I always kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit. I did kind of like more creative work when I worked in corporate and when I had my 9-to-5. I was doing like a lot of marketing and social media work. And, you know, that stuff really gave me a thrill. I was excited to do that kind of work. And then, like I mentioned earlier, I went through, I was actually, you know, I had my son and then I was laid off during maternity leave. And, you know, I took that opportunity to actually stay home with my son. And I was just like, you know what, it's okay. You know, I went back to work and I got laid off again. It was at that time I was like, you know what, I can't do this. Like, corporate America sucks. I want to be my own boss. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to follow the rules. I want to make an impact. I don't want to just do someone else's life. I don't want to build someone else's dream. I want it to build my own. So I just did a ton of research. I was always on the computer. I was always kind of just, you know, trying to find my passion. So I would, you know, read a lot. I did a lot of like the career and strength finder tests and passion tests and, you know, just trying to figure out like where I could be most effective as an entrepreneur. And, you know, when I found and discovered life coaching, it was just like a light bulb. It was a no-brainer for me. I was always the one that my friends and family came to if they needed advice. And, you know, so for me, like I said in the beginning, I didn't think that it was a viable career. And then when I found that it was, I was like, I can do this, you know, and I can take it and really make it something really special. So, you know, from there, after all my research, I did some research into coaching schools, looked into getting certified. I got certified as a life coach with a couple different companies last year, probably around March and April of last year of 2013. And from there, I really just worked my butt off. Because being a life coach isn't just like having a job. You have to be everything. You have to be a marketer. You have to be a social media person. You have to be a networker. You have to be a speaker. You have to be a writer. You have to be a blogger. You have to know how to build a website. Like, you have to know everything. So, you know, it's really challenging in a really good way for me.
Well, it's those challenges that can be fun that make you feel like you're not actually working.
Yeah.
And because you're reaping the benefits of it yourself rather than doing it for somebody else.
Absolutely.
Now, you recently launched a podcast, right?
Yes, I did. Very excited about that. It's a way for me to, you know, even with this whole life coaching and becoming an entrepreneur and kind of working with my working for myself, I had to step outside of my box. I had to step out of my comfort zone. And, you know, I just follow a lot of like, quote unquote, experts and gurus and other coaches. And they, you know, say you have to do this and you have to do that. And, you know, video was like a huge scare for me. Like, I did not want to do video. So for me, I still wanted my voice to be heard. I still wanted to tell my story. So that's why I chose to do podcasting. And I started a podcast. And, you know, as I progress and I'm going through it, I definitely feel a lot more confident. Like, I feel like I could do video now. So I kind of, you know, used it as like a segue into really understanding my audience, understanding the people that I help, and how I can help them.
Yeah, I think podcasting is a great medium for people because when they listen to it, they're generally not really doing much of anything else. Maybe it's driving, maybe it's showering, maybe it's cutting the grass or something. It's your voice and their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they can really focus on what you're saying. It's not just background noise.
Yeah. And also for me, as part of like growing my business, it was a way for me to really get personal with potential clients and people that maybe, I mean, they could read my blogs and they could look at my website and they could see my social media, but they still weren't getting that taste of me, how I work, how I spoke, how I relate to people, you know, my thoughts on things, you know, just how I am on the fly and just my personality. You're not able to see that through words.
I agree. And it adds validity. I mean, just the same as a YouTube video would, because mm-hmm. you're putting your face to it, you're putting your voice to it, and you're putting your personality to it, and not just words on a page, because even a computer could spit out words on a page. It has to be a person that's giving that voice or giving that face.
Exactly, yes.
So what roadblocks have you hit along the way?
A lot. and for me, it's been a struggle. But like I said earlier, it's kind of like it's a good challenge, you know, because it's kind of like pushing yourself to the edge. So for me, you know, starting my business, I wasn't sure what to do. I mean, at the time, like I said, I had just been laid off. So it wasn't like I was able to build my business and, you know, still have that comfort of having a steady income and having a steady paycheck. Like, it was pretty much all or nothing for me, which made it a little bit more difficult. I mean, if, you know, I had to do it over, you know, I may depend on, you know, that paycheck or the health insurance or whatever it is that, you know, people need to thrive. But for me, it actually ended up working out because I was able to push my limits and say, you know, I can still do it. Like, I was able to overcome that financial pressures and just, you know, trying to figure out how to do this business basically on my own. Because, you know, like I said, I wasn't, you know, not that I was not supported by my family, but there was really no one for me to talk to. And I'm sure, you know, I don't know if you can relate or your listeners can relate as just being an entrepreneur. It's like the quote unquote real people in our lives don't get it. You know, they don't understand. So it's really hard to like kind of navigate through and just figure it out yourself. You know, so it's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of spending money that maybe you shouldn't have spent. And then kind of looking back like, oh, maybe I didn't need that course, or maybe I didn't need to hire that coach, or, you know, whatever it is. But like I said, it's all a learning experience, just like anything else in life.
Could you talk a little more about the schooling that you had to go through to become a life coach?
Yes. So life coaching, unfortunately, is not regulated right now. So say, you know, like somebody is a real estate agent, they are licensed through, you know, the banking and insurance of New Jersey. So coaching is not that way. So pretty much anybody can say that they're a coach. But, you know, I took the road of getting certified, not only for the credibility, but to learn the skills. So coaching, I mean, if you looked up life coaching school on Google, you'd find a million different things. And there's classes that include, you know, just 600 hours of work that has to be done. There's online classes, there's in-person classes, there's, you know, two-day classes, there's 12-month classes. So it's really about finding a company and a certification that meshes well with you and your values and what type of brand that you want. But all in all, I feel like, you know, the life coaching certification gives you that credibility, but the actual being of a life coach and what you do comes from within, because it really all has to do with your life experiences and being able to relate to your clients in that way.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, giving advice to somebody who going through something that you have no idea about, not just no experience, but, you know, to not even have maybe be taught the situation from a class,
mm-hmm.
you know, at least it gives you it broadens your background.
Yeah. And I use this example all the time because I do deal with a lot of people in their relationships, like I said, or how their relationships affect them. And, you know, there's plenty of, you know, marriage counselors and therapists out there. that they have this fancy title and they have the fancy letters behind their name, but they've never experienced what you've experienced. So it's very hard to relate to somebody when they have no idea, or they really don't, you know, they may have been taught something, but they don't necessarily understand it because they've never been through it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the same could go for a friend, you know, or even a family member. So could you share a favorite memory you have so far?
Yeah, actually just recently, I guess I can say, was one of my favorite memories. I found it difficult to kind of go through it by myself, but I was able to find, you know, online communities and meet people online that are awesome, but they're in other parts of the country and they're other parts of the world. And I was able to actually have a meetup with a few girls that, you know, I was quote unquote online friends with up in New York City last week or the week before. So it was really awesome to be able to, like, in real time meet these people that affected me and helped me and supported me in ways that, you know, people that I see every day never could. So it was definitely getting to meet them and see them in person and not even feeling like they were a stranger was totally awesome. We make a joke that it was like, you know, like entrepreneurs like match.com because we talk online all the time and we email back and forth, but we never face-to-face meet each other. So it's kind of like, you know, our first date.
Yeah, it's nice to see that in society we're breaking down those barriers of the internet being a weird place to meet people, because it is just people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So is there any parts of your dream that haven't quite worked out yet?
Not necessarily that they haven't worked out yet, but maybe they just haven't come to fruition yet. I mean, as far as, you know, I definitely want to reach more people from a speaking position, and being able to actually get booked for speaking events and gigs and things like that. So that's something that I'll be working on this year, to get more speaking engagements and kind of reach a broader audience. And again, stepping outside of my box and doing something that I would never have thought in a million years to do, like even last year or the year before.
So what do your dreams for the future look like then?
Definitely more speaking, more writing. I would like to have another published book, you know, in the future. And to be honest, just sharing my message and my story, but not having to do so much work. So, you know, being able to kind of systemize and automate as far as, you know, my teaching. So whether that be, you know, through speaking engagements and books, rather than one-on-one and still trading dollars for hours, you know, even though I'm outside of the 9-to-5, when you do like one-on-one coaching, you're still kind of in that space where I get paid this for a certain amount of hours, you know. So I kind of just want to spread my message far and wide and just reach a broader audience by doing a lot of different things.
So you kind of mentioned that you already have a book.
Yeah. I do. I actually co-wrote a book with Brian Tracy. I'm sure you know who he is. The book was called Against the Grain, and I actually told my story about how I was laid off from corporate America and was able to, you know, use that to fuel my entrepreneurship and my business.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a book being a great tool. And I mean, would you do a co-authorship on the next one?
I really don't want to. I think it was a good way to get the experience and not really have to deal with the pressures of, you know, getting a publishing deal or spending all the money to, you know, have the book printed and doing all of the, you know, marketing and platform and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So kind of, you know, did that for me without me having to do too much work, you know. But the next one, I definitely, you know, I'm teetering back and forth. I originally wanted to self-publish, but I feel that my platform is strong, and I feel like hopefully by the end of this year that I could get picked up by a big name publisher and have a book published, hopefully, you know, in the next couple years.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll definitely have to check back in with you for a follow-up episode on that.
Yeah.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to let the listeners know, you know, just whatever you want to do, you can do it. And don't let society and your parents and people that haven't been through it tell you otherwise. You know, I mean, it's okay to kind of listen to what they say and respect what they say, but always do what you feel in your heart is right. And for me, like, one of my rules is whatever you're supposed to do or whatever you should do, do the opposite and you'll be way happier.
Not bad advice at all. Would you like to share your Twitter, Facebook, websites?
Absolutely. So you can find me at beawesomeonpurpose.com. That's my website. And I have links to my podcast on there. My Twitter is at Jen Scalia. It's JenSCalia. I'm huge on Instagram. I love Instagram. I've actually been using it as a tool to get paying clients and build my list and do things like that. So you can find me at awesome_on_purpose. And on Facebook, you can just search Awesome on Purpose.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Jen. I really appreciate it. And I'd love to have you again on for, you know, a follow-up episode.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.